Today, Ben Quine from our team is going to continue this incredible series on our founding documents. Ben is going to talk about the Constitution. We're starting in on the Constitution. Last week was the Declaration of Independence. This week, he's going to talk about Congress and read through the First Amendment. I want you to think about several things. Number one, Ben's going to highlight how long our Constitution has been in place and the prosperity that we've seen in our nation because of our Constitution. He brings up the fact that the average national constitution of every other country in the world is 17 years. There are some, many, that only last a year. He's going to bring in quotes from Ben Franklin. I know you're going to be blessed by this teaching by Ben dealing with our beginning of our Constitution. But I want you to put it in the context of where we are right now. There are probably nothing else that we need to be studying more than this book, the Bible, and the little documents that Ben is going to hold in his hands during these series, the Constitution. So be encouraged and know that God's got a plan for our nation, but it's our responsibility to actually learn these documents and to try to apply them correctly in our civic duties. So be blessed by Ben Quine. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
I'm so thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be here with you today. This is Conversations with Christians Engaged, our weekly video podcast where we talk about important issues facing our country from a biblical perspective. My name is Ben Quine, and I'm so glad that you have joined us. Please take a minute and like the video. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe. Then share this video with your friends and on your social media. Check out all of our resources, our pledge, and our classes at ChristiansEngaged.org. I know they will be a great blessing to you. We're in the middle of a series on the founding documents of our country, the Declaration of Independence, which defines the dream and standards for our nation, the Constitution, which establishes the structures of how our government works, and the Bill of Rights, which outlines the basic rights of every individual on which the government may not infringe. We are thoroughly blessed to live in the United States of America. And we are absolutely blessed to have these documents as the law of our land. Together, they make a trio which define our government, its ideals, the practical nuts and bolts of how it operates, and the limits placed on it. If you love freedom, if you support diversity and the rights of minorities, if you're a fan of women being able to vote, if you're in favor of lifting people out of poverty, if you promote freedom of speech and religion, and if you're grateful that slavery has been ended, then you owe our founding fathers eternal, undying gratitude and honor. We all owe this rather small collection of men the highest praise. They weren't perfect, but it was their wisdom and sacrifice which made all these things possible. It's very important that we understand these documents, so we're going to read them here together. It's going to be great. The 13 American colonies declared independence from Great Britain in July of 1776. But 11 years later, they were still arguing over how the country should be run. the original Articles of Confederation were proving insufficient. And so delegates from each colony met in Philadelphia to either revise the articles or throw them out altogether. In June of 1878, after 2 months of quarreling, Benjamin Franklin rose and addressed the assembly. In this situation of this assembly, groping, as it were, in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of our contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us engaged in this struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel, and we shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. Benjamin Franklin. In this remarkable speech, Benjamin Franklin, signer of both the Declaration and the Constitution, deftly wove 13 Bible quotes into these 14 powerful sentences. After Franklin's speech, Congress recessed for 3 days and went to church, specifically to Reverend William Rogers' church, where they held a special time of prayer over the convention. And then over the next 3 months, they carefully crafted our Constitution, a document that has now been the supreme law of the land for 234 years. It's important to note that the United States is not a democracy. Democracy is never mentioned in the founding documents. In fact, the founders considered rule by a majority to be tyrannical. They knew it would lead to oppression of the minority and eventually self-destruction. So they put in our Constitution many safeguards against majority rule, including the Electoral College, the veto, having senators elected by the states, and the amendment process. University of Chicago researchers found that national constitutions have lasted an average of only 17 years since 1789. The median lifespan is only 8 years, while the mode is a minuscule 1 year. In other words, since 1789, most constitutions in the world have lasted for only 1 year or less. France has had 15 constitutions. Poland has had 7. Russia has had 4. Our Constitution has been an oasis of stability and freedom in the midst of a chaotic and despotic world. Those are surprising statistics, but it's little wonder that spreading democracy around the world has had limited success. John Adams had this to say, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." In a monarchy, the king creates whatever laws he wants. In a democracy, the people create whatever laws the majority wants. but in a representative republic, God's pre-existing natural laws and the constitutional laws are the foundation of the government, and they hold the leaders in check. In our constitutional republic, God establishes human rights and the laws of the universe. That's first. Next, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And below both of those come the elected officials. This unique document is designed to limit the power of government and to empower you. The founders wanted you to be able to read this document so that you could be in charge of your life and our country, so that you could hold the government in check. Modern politicians write laws that are thousands of pages long. They write in coded language that intentionally obscures the meaning so that they will have power over you. They write laws that take more and more from you, laws that continually extend the reach of government into every area of our lives. This is the opposite of the intention of our founders, as we'll see. Noted economist Walter Williams used to say, the founders held a massive distrust of powerful government, and they designed a system based on that distrust. They never wanted us to trust the government. They never wanted to give government vast or unchecked powers, and they did everything in their power to limit the size, scope, and authority of the government. In Federalist Paper number 45, James Madison said this, "The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite." So let's begin. The Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Here is the purpose of government. As God said in Romans 13 and in 1 Peter 2, government is tasked by God with enacting justice. Unlike in a monarchy, the lay people are the ones in charge, we the people. The government is to serve the people, not the other way around. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. First, we have the legislative branch of government, Congress. It's divided into two groups, the House of Representatives and the Senate. Congress writes the laws. The House of Representatives is based on population size. The United States is divided into 435 congressional districts with a population of about 760,000 in each. The Senate is composed of 100 senators, two from each state. Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Now, the next passage was modified by Section 2 of Amendment 14. And it reads this way. Representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for President and Vice President of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state, being 21 years of age, and citizens of the United States, or in any way abridged, except for participation in rebellion or other crime, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such male citizens shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. But this amendment was modified by Amendment 26, which reads, "The right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age." In 1920, the 19th Amendment prohibited any state from denying women the right to vote by stating, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation." Now back to Article 1. "The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States, and within every subsequent term of 10 years, in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative, and until such enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose 3, Massachusetts 8, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations 1, Connecticut 5, New York 6, New Jersey 4, Pennsylvania 8, Delaware 1, Maryland 6, Virginia 10, North Carolina 5, South Carolina 5, and Georgia 3. When vacancies happen in the representation from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Section 3. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. Immediately after they shall be assembled in consequence of the first election, they shall be divided as equally as may be into 3 classes. The seats of the senators of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the 2nd year, of the 2nd class at the expiration of the 4th year, and of the 3rd class at the expiration of the 6th year, so that 1/3 may be chosen every 2nd year. This third section was modified by Amendment 17, which reads, "The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, elected by the people thereof, for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislatures. When vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of such state shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislatures of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election, as the legislature may direct. This amendment shall not be so construed as to affect the election or term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as part of the Constitution." Now back to Article 1. "No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained to the age of 30 years and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. The Vice President of the United States shall be President of the Senate, but shall have no vote, unless they be equally divided. The Senate shall choose their other officers, and also a President pro tem, in the absence of the Vice President, or when he shall exercise the office of President of the United States. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside. And no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the members present. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment, according to law. Article 1, Section 4 deals with congressional elections and the minimum requirements for its assembly. Section 4. The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time, by law, make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. This was altered by the 20th Amendment, which reads in Section 2, "The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall begin at noon on the third day of January, unless they shall by law appoint a different day." Article 1, Section 5 deals with various rules for Congress and the rules each House may establish for themselves. Each House shall be judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. But a smaller number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members, in such manner and under such penalties as each House may provide. Each House may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with the concurrence of 2/3, expel a member. Each House shall keep a journal of its proceedings, and from time to time publish the same, excepting such parts as may in their judgment require secrecy. And the yeas and nays of the members of either House on any question shall, at the desire of 1/5 of those present, be entered on the journal. Neither House, during the session of Congress, shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that in which the two Houses shall be sitting. Section 6 establishes compensation and immunity for members of Congress. Section 6. The senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services to be ascertained by law and paid out of the Treasury of the United States. They shall in all cases, except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either House, they shall not be questioned in any other place. No senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under the authority of the United States, which shall have been created, or the emoluments whereof shall have been increased during such time. And no person holding any office under the United States shall be a member of either House during his continuance in office. Section 7 requires that bills dealing with spending must begin in the House. It also outlines the veto process, which is an important presidential check on congressional power. Section 7. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments, as on other bills. Every bill which shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate shall, before it becomes a law, be presented to the President of the United States. If he approve, he shall sign it, but if not, he shall return it, with his objections, to that House in which it shall have originated, who shall enter the objections at large on their journal and proceed to reconsider it. If after such reconsideration 2/3 of that House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent, together with the objections, to the other House, by which it shall likewise be reconsidered. And if approved by 2/3 of that House, it shall become a law. But in all such cases, the votes of both Houses shall be determined by yeas and nays, and the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered on the journal of each House, respectively. If any bill shall not be returned by the President within 10 days, Sundays excepted, after it shall have been presented to him, the same shall be a law, in like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress, by their adjournment, prevent its return, in which case it shall not be a law. Every order, resolution, or vote to which the concurrence of the Senate and House of Representatives may be necessary, except on a question of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States, and before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being disapproved by him, shall be repassed by 2/3 of the Senate and House of Representatives, according to the rules and limitations prescribed in the case of a bill. Section 8 enumerates or lists the powers given to Congress. Section 8. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on the credit of the United States. To regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. To establish an uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. To coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. To establish post offices and post roads. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. To define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. To provide and maintain a navy. To make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. To provide for calling forth militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repeal invasions. To provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, by session or particular states, and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States, or in any department or officer thereof. What may Congress write laws for? What may Congress spend money on? The strict limits established in the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8 have been grossly abused and ignored by our House of Representatives. They may not create laws for or spend money on just whatever they want. They are limited in what they are allowed to do. You should be upset when Congress spends money on anything that is outside of this list, because that is illegal. In a letter to Albert Gallatin, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Congress has not unlimited powers to provide for the general welfare, but were restrained to those specifically enumerated." The Constitution established these limits to curb bribery and paybacks, to limit the scope and power of the federal government, to keep costs and taxes down, and to promote freedom. Section 9 contains various rules for Congress. The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808, but a tax or duty may be imposed on such importation, not exceeding $10 for each person. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended, unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid, unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. No tax or duty shall be laid on articles exported from any state. No preference shall be given by any regulation of commerce or revenue to the ports of one state over those of another, nor shall vessels bound to or from one state be obliged to enter, clear, or pay duties in another. No money shall be drawn from the treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept of any present, emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Unlike in Europe, there is to be no nobility in the United States. All people are to be equal before the law. Section 10 deals with rules for states, specifically focusing on foreign alliances and trade. Section 10. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports, except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws. And the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of the Congress. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war, unless actually invaded, or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. That's the end of Article 1. Christians Engaged just recently returned from taking 50 people to Washington, D.C. It was an incredible trip. We saw the monuments, visited museums, and learned about how our government works. Most importantly of all, we met with and had the opportunity to pray for many members of Congress. What stood out to me was how difficult their job is. What a sacrifice they're making for us and for our country, and that we desperately need to pray for them. Several representatives were specifically asking to be prayed for, understanding the crucial need for God's blessing and guidance on them as they work. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Let's obey this command and pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for our country and we're grateful for our Constitution. Lord, we would like to pray right now for our leaders. Lord, we want to lift up those who honor you, Lord. Thank you for our leaders that love you and know you. We pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened, and that they would stand boldly on your truth. Lord, make them effective and powerful leaders. Lord, we pray that you would protect them and their families. Father, now we pray for those leaders that don't know you and that don't honor you. Lord, we pray that they would repent, that they would not be allowed to implement any wicked policies. And Lord, that in your mercy, you would replace them with godly leaders very quickly. And Lord, for all the leaders for our country, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us and that you would give us leaders that are upright and that they would do justly. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't put your faith in men. Don't put your faith in the government. Put your faith in the Lord. Thank you so much for joining me. I'd love to hear what you thought about this video. Maybe this is the first time you ever heard the Constitution. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Then share this video. And be sure to join us next time as we continue with the Constitution. You won't want to miss it. Thanks again for joining me. And remember, God's Word has the answers for life.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.